Welcome and good evening, everyone that's here with us. We again want to say that we are so happy to have our visitors with us here tonight. We have so many of our number that are out on the road in vacation, and it's so nice to meet new faces, shake new hands, and to see your faces. We sure appreciate you worshiping with us, and we pray that you'll find our worship to God to be in spirit and truth, and first and foremost, to be what God would have us to do, but also edifying to you as well. Just to prove that a preacher should never, ever do a sermon for anybody or any occasion in the church, which I do not do, here's a perfect example of why. Tonight we're going to talk about don't take a summer vacation because apparently I should have done this lesson a week ago before everybody's vacation began this week. But perhaps they'll see it online or they'll read the outline at some other time. But tonight, I want us to read and study God's Word and consider don't take a summer vacation. You'll understand more what I'm talking about in a minute. Not just, no, you're not allowed to go somewhere fun this summer. It's much more than that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And apparently it is that time of the year right now when it is time for people to go out and enjoy, look forward to a break away from school, a break away from work, look forward to some relaxation, some recreation, a time to just take a break from whatever seems to stress us out, whether it be our work, school, could be family, I don't know, whatever it is that stresses you out, this is a good time when people go away and enjoy these things. Vacations are often times when families reconnect, enjoy the company, and remember what it is to have fun with one another. And remember that there is love in the family. And that's a wonderful thing. And I'm looking forward to hopefully doing that as well sometime this summer, taking a little trip with family and enjoying some times with family. But I want us to understand something about vacations. Just because it is summer, June, July, August, just because it's that time of year, and it's good to take a break from daily grind, that does not mean in any way, shape, form, or fashion that we as Christians should be taking a vacation away from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58 says that we should always be abounding in the work of the Lord. It says we should always be abounding. Not sometimes abounding. Abound when it's convenient. Abound as long as you're in your daily routine. Abound as long as you're in your city. But take a break if you're on vacation, out of the city. Maybe you're even just taking a staycation, we call it these days, where we do something in our own town, but we get away from the normal people that we know and see on a regular basis. Whatever it be, that is definitely not a time to take a break, a summer vacation, away from God. Let us consider this morning, or this evening, number one in our notes. Let us not take a summer vacation from God. From God. Many people take a summer vacation during the summer, not just to visit some fun entertainment place, but sometimes, unfortunately, Christians take a break from God. Because the children are out of school, and you don't have to do the daily routine, there's not as many things for homework, so it's time to kind of just take a break from everything in life. And unfortunately, sometimes that can even be God. Well, it's not to forget to plan things in our life such as prayer. Prayer. You know, a summer vacation can take months and months to plan. Alicia and I are planning something in November and we've already booked things for that. So we think months and years in advance for vacations that we take. You ever consider the time that it takes to set up your prayer life? How are you doing this summer at praying? Yourself, just your prayer life. How are you doing with that? Have you thought more about things to do that are fun this summer than times to sit down and talk to God? That's on an individual basis. Let me take it to the home. How much are we praying in front of our children? We need to be praying in front of our children, setting that good example. Showing it's not something you just do in private. It's not just something you do in the assembly and the time of worship. But it's something you do at all times. And not just before it's time to eat either. I'm talking other times to pray. asking God to lift you up. Lift up your family. Lift up another family in need. Ask Him to be with you in safety. Whatever it is, don't forget to plan prayer life. Husbands, remember you are the head of the household. Don't forget to show your spouse and your children that prayer is very important to you. Don't forget to plan that. Don't forget to plan Bible study. Bible study is so important. No, I'm not just talking about planning on being here on Wednesday evenings. Being here an hour early before worship on a Sunday morning so you can have the kids at Bible class, have them for Bible study. No, I'm talking about you at home. Out of all the preparation that you're doing to take a vacation somewhere, all the time, the energy, all the research, how much of your time and energy are you taking to open up the Word of God this summer? Open up the Word of God. Do it in front of your spouse, in front of your children. Show that it is just as important as all the other fun things that we do in the summer months that we have. Don't forget to plan Bible study for your family. Don't forget to plan talking about spiritual matters. We will sit with our spouses over the internet, over whatever it is in front of us, maps, plans, travel agent, and talk for hours and days and weeks about how to get to a certain vacation. How we're going to pay for it. Where we're going to stay. What are the things we're going to do each day? And if you don't watch it, you can spend an entire month almost always talking at the dinner table about sports on TV, sports for the children, entertainment, going to the beach, going to the lake, going to all these places, and forgetting to ever talk about spiritual matters. The children need to see the parents talking about spiritual things. Summer is not a time to take some type of break, some type of vacation from being the Christian that 1 Corinthians 15:58 talks about. Don't forget to plan serving the Lord. How about that one? We've been talking about planning all these fun things we're going to do during the summer, whether it be in this city and state or some other. How about serving the Lord? Have you planned out having somebody in your home? Have you planned out taking somebody some food? Have you planned out what you could do for somebody out in the community? Have you planned out what you could possibly do to do something nice for somebody outside of the body of Christ? Hopefully to win them over for Christ? Have you thought of any way to serve the Lord, or are we pretty much just thinking about how we can serve ourselves and get to that fun vacation spot and enjoy time away from work and enjoy time away from school? Don't forget to plan serving the Lord. And speaking of vacations, this is going to be aimed a little bit more of when you're at your vacation this summer. May I warn us, brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be caught thinking that your location provides any type of safe haven away from God, away from people in this room that could see you doing things. Far too many times people treat vacations as not only a time to have some fun, do some entertainment, but Christians will use that opportunity to be in a city, in a state where nobody knows them, and do some things of the world that they have no business doing. People will treat vacations as a time to bring up that old man from the past. Perhaps enjoy some things that you used to do before you became a child of God. You know better, but you think to yourself and reason to yourself that nobody is around that knows me. I'm not tempting anybody around. I'm not going to make somebody of the world be any more of the world or less of the world because of my actions. So we justify and we make all these excuses and we say, nobody knows us here. We're safe. Look around real quick. Just double check. Okay, honey, then we can go ahead and have a drink. Go to the bar. Go to the club. Dress in ways that we shouldn't. Go on and on the list of whatever you want to fill in the blank there. Just because you're in another city, just because one of your brothers or sisters in Christ isn't sitting beside you, cannot see what you're doing, it doesn't really matter about what we can see or not. What matters is what God can see. And Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14 says, God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden whether it is good or evil. Every act, not the act that you do in your own city, your own home, every act that you do on vacation in the city where nobody knows you. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. We can fool our friends. We can fool our family members. We can fool our brethren in Christ. But we cannot fool God who sees everything that we do. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. A faithful Christian will not be caught taking a vacation from God. Also, a faithful Christian will not be caught taking a vacation from God just out of fear, out of these verses. A faithful Christian will not want to bring up things of the past, not want to bring up the old man, not want to bring up sins, out of love and respect for God and Christ. Do you love and respect God? Of course you do. You're here this evening. You're a Christian, or you're not yet a Christian, but you're learning and you're interested. You want to be here. I know that you love and respect God and Christ, the one who died on the cross for you. Well, then show it, not just in your own city and state, but everywhere we go, everything that we do. A faithful Christian will remember the words of Jesus when He said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first His kingdom. Let us not be caught taking some type of vacation away from God because nobody's looking. We're in a place where nobody knows us, and we think we're going to really get away with something. There's nothing that we can get away with from the eyes of the Lord. We can fool friends and family and brethren, but we cannot fool God. Don't take a summer vacation away from God. Don't take a summer vacation away from worship. Away from worship. Some people will take vacations from worship during the summer. Whether it be you have not gone anywhere and you're just going to take a little break here and there because the children are out and perhaps it's a time to have a less busy schedule. And you know, this day on the Lord's Day, it's a beautiful day like today. Hey, I could be out golfing. I could be out by the pool at the lake. Maybe there's just something on television. There's a marathon of some really, really great television that we have these days, some type of TLC programming or something really classy, you know, that we need to be watching. And we'll sit there in front of the TV all day and we'll just do nothing. And maybe that's a reason to not come to worship. I kind of joke for a second, but whatever it is, we'll find our own reason, won't we? Brethren, let's be stronger than that. Let's show our love and respect to God. Let's show Him that we want to be here to worship Him. Let's not take a vacation away from that because it's a beautiful day outside or we have something else planned. Let's not do that. Some people even take a vacation away from worship when they go on vacation. Some too many people today, Christians, will go out of town and say, well, you know, if we make it to some place and there's a place on the way, or if we see it once we get in town, we'll go to worship. Brethren, let that be the first thing that we think. As you're planning your hotel stay, what forms of entertainment you're going to do, why don't you get on the internet? Why don't you look in a book? Ask brethren, pick up the phone. Make sure that wherever you're going, there is a place to worship on the Lord's Day. That shouldn't be the last thing you think about as you stroll in the town. It should be one of the first things that we think of as we're driving to whatever destination it is. We can make excuses and say, well, we're having so much fun that you know, time just slipped away. Brethren, are you a child of God? Is the first day of the week something that you're not used to doing? Of course it is. It's a command. You're used to doing it. When we say something like time just slipped away, what it really means is that we placed God down on the priority list is what it really means. Time's not going to slip away. You're not going to just forget that the Lord's Day is coming up. That's just an excuse that we can make. We can also say things like, well, there's only, you know, so much time that we have. We spent so much money to be here at this place. You know, we don't want to miss any of the activities. We've planned this for so many months. We've spent so much money on it. it sure would be a shame to not get to go to X, Y, Z, whatever it is, wherever you're at. You don't want to miss out on any of the fun. You've driven or flown all this way, and you don't want to miss out. And so sometimes people will put the Lord's Day and worship to Him further down the priority list because of these excuses that we make. Sometimes we simply just have to say, well, something has to give. Well, brethren, let me suggest that what has to give should not be worshiping God, should not be assembling with the saints, should not be singing praises to God, studying the Word of God, taking of the Lord's Supper and remembering what Jesus Christ did for you on a cross willingly so that your sins can be forgiven. It is not acceptable for us to make so much of a plan to go and do, to entertain ourselves, to be so worldly minded, and then forget about the Lord. Again, I'm not saying that it is any way sinful for you to take a vacation. That is not what I'm saying. You should enjoy. I'm just asking you to remain the Christian you are today, even then, wherever it is that you go. Well, let's not make excuses for reasons that we can't be together on the first day of the week. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, to not forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's in the New American Standard Version that's taken from. A faithful Christian will not be caught taking a vacation from worshiping God. A faithful Christian will consider a faithful church's location in regards to vacationing at a certain place. May even go so boldly to say that a faithful Christian may even drive an hour or more to worship if that's the closest place nearby. May I be even so bold to say that a faithful Christian may even change their plans, depending on location or just perhaps what days you're vacationing, if there's not a faithful church to attend. A faithful Christian will not let time slip by, will not make excuses. But we will be strong, like 1 Corinthians says, that we will be always abounding. Not just abounding when it's convenient, when we're our own routine, not in our own city, in our own state, but always abounding, always being with God, always being of God, always being with God's people. And third, may we consider this evening to not take a vacation away from modesty. From modesty. You would go with me in your New Testaments to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It is a sad but true statement to say that some Christians take a vacation from modesty during the summer. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 reminds us not just about modesty, but our lives as Christians. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brethren, as I read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I have two things that come to my mind. In verse 1, God said, I'm only asking a reasonable service. God is not asking us to go out of our way in so much of a way that is such a burden on us to possibly be His children. But if His Son can come and walk amongst us, be treated lower than He was, be nailed to the cross, it is reasonable for us to live as Christians. That is a reasonable service. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. Let us not be like everybody else around us, whether it's modesty or anything. Let us be different than the world around us. How will the world know that Christians are anything different than the world if we don't look any different? It is our job, our reasonable service to look different. And that even includes modesty. Sometimes we will use excuses like it's so hot. It's in the south. It's June. It's July. It's 104 outside. It's hot. It's not my fault that I have to wear such little clothing. And there are some cultures that when it's hot, they wear more to protect the skin. It's just an excuse that we use so that we won't feel so bad about the way that we are dressed. It's hot is just an excuse. Saying everyone else is doing it. That is one of the big ones, especially with the youth of today. Everybody else around me is dressing in a certain way. I won't be accepted. I won't be cool unless I am doing and wearing certain things, certain name brands, certain shorts, skirts, tank tops, whatever it is for boys and girls. I have to go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we say that everybody else is doing it, I don't want to stick out. I want people to look at me and single me out than anybody else. I would refer us back to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where God asks us to not be conformed to the world, but to be and to look and to act different than those around us. Don't take a break from modesty and make excuses like it's hot. Everybody else is doing it around me. Sometimes people even use this one. This is for the clever people that are going to come up to me after the service. And they're going to say, well, nobody would be looking at me anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Too big, too small, too short, too tall, too young, too old. Nobody would be looking at this old body anyway. Brethren, there are people of every age and of every kind, every mindset, that are going to be attracted to something and whatever it is. Whatever you think you are or you are not on this earth, I'm sure somebody finds you attractive in whatever form you are, whatever form I am. Let us not make an excuse and say, well, I'm not attractive enough. It doesn't really apply to me. That's only to the more attractive people. The people that look like the models that we see on television. No, that's not what God says. God doesn't say, watch out to be modest unless you don't think anybody's looking at you and it doesn't apply to you. It's not what it says. We are to just live a reasonable service type of life. The type that does not be conformed to this world, but that our actions, our dress, everything about us looks different than the world. Just because we're on vacation doesn't give us the opportunity and the right to now not be a Christian and to now to wear clothes that we have no business wearing around the opposite sex. People of the world today perfectly make it fine for us if you just look at television and internet and news and on and on and on, entertainment of the world. You would almost think you're something weird if you're not dressing in that way. But it's not modest. We can make all the excuses in the world, but it is not modest. Do not be conformed to this world. After we go through these excuses and whatever else excuse we can possibly come up with in our mind, I wonder if we would ask ourselves just for a moment, which one of these would Jesus accept? I'm not just talking to the females. I'm talking to both sexes, male, female. This is not just a problem for one side of the fence. This is both. When we're out on vacation, we're out at the beach, we're out at the lake, we're out at the swimming pool, wherever it is. If Jesus came back in all of His glory right then, right now, and stood in front of you and ready for judgment, would you feel immodest standing before Jesus? If you would, then you shouldn't wear it. If any of these excuses, if you would use them in front of Jesus, I highly doubt that you would. So don't use them on us or to yourself or to your family or anybody else around us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair in gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Modestly and discreetly. Why? Because 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes, because that is what a lady wanting to profess her godliness would do. Let's look at another verse. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Jesus says, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. We read these two verses and several others that we could read on this topic. And this is about the time that somebody is going to stand up and say, it is a male problem. If men would get their heads out of the gutter, then we wouldn't have a problem with Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. It's male's fault. They're the ones who need to be okay with people being dressed in a certain way around them. They just shouldn't look, and they shouldn't be lusting. It's not my fault that they're lusting over me. It's his fault. He's the sinner. He's the one with his mind in the gutter. And then on the other side of the fence, you're going to have some people say, it is a female problem. If Christian ladies would not dress in such a revealing way, I would not have to be tempted. And so the argument goes on both sides of the fence. May I suggest a third option, then it's a female issue or a male issue? May I suggest that it's neither, but may I suggest that it is an ungodliness problem? Not a problem with male or female, but in either of our hearts, being ungodly. A godly lady would want to obey 1 Timothy chapter 2. She would want to profess godliness with her modest apparel. A godly man would want to keep himself from being in the places where he knows he should not be, where there's temptations all around him. Let us not point fingers at both sides of the fence. Instead, let both sides of the fence do what we need to do to profess godliness and to be the Christians that God asks us to be. Females, be mindful of your brethren, your brothers in Christ that are around you, whether in this building or at the beach, the pool, or just going around in town. Be mindful of the things that you wear, and don't be a stumbling block for males. Males, don't be placing yourselves in places you have no business being because everywhere around you is clothed barely half naked. Not a place for us to be. I know we can say, but what if we're going to go to the beach or to whatever? Well, I'm just a Christian like you are. I'm no different. I would perhaps say to myself, then maybe I need to not go to that place. You make your own decisions. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You do whatever you need to do for your soul. I'm just trying to encourage you this evening to not put yourself in such a situation. Let us remember, in speaking of the world, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 says of the world that they have eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin. So even if we're not talking about our own brothers and sisters in Christ, the world around us has adultery in their heart, fornication in their heart. They never cease to sin. Let's not be a reason for that. Sometimes we can go on vacation and we can say to ourselves, well, this is time to just enjoy and be a little bit like everybody else. May I suggest that when we're on vacation, we see all the people around us still as they are. Not just vacationers with the fanny packs. They are still souls. Lost souls. Let's not do anything to add to them stumbling. Let us do whatever we can, even on vacation, to be a light, to be salt, to be the change, be the difference that this world needs us to be. Let's not take a summer vacation away from God. Let's not take a summer vacation away from worship or from our modesty. I want to read a verse with you. It's going to be found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. There is such a confusion what it means to even be of God these days. A lot of different churches of men, a lot of different teachings, a lot of different teachings on the first day of the week about do this to be saved, do that to be saved. Believe with all your heart and you're saved. Be basically a good person and you will be saved. God tells us exactly what He wants us to do to be saved. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some people will hear this verse and they'll say, you know, water does not save you. I would agree. There is water back here that is ready for anybody ready to respond, and that water alone does not save you. What saves you is your obedience. And the obedience that is required is to have a good conscience answer God. To answer God, He has asked you to believe in Him. Confess Him. Repent or turn away from the sins in your life and let baptism, the obedience of baptism, save you from your sins. Will you do that tonight? We're here to help you. If you'll come right now as we stand and sing.